afternoon, everyone. My name is Claudia Cotton. I'm a PhD student at Virginia Tech, and today I want to talk to you about a pilot study I've been working on to predict site quality and potential productivity of upland hardwood forested stands in the southern Appalachians. To most clearly present this study, I'll begin with some background information and the justification for why this research is important. I'll then move into three questions that I'd like to answer by doing this research. I'll move into my methods, results, conclusions, and then I'll wrap everything up with the future direction that I think this research needs to go. The Southern Appalachians hold some of the most species diverse and productive forests in the United States. Studies have been conducted since the early 1900s to figure out what causes this condition, and many of those results have indicated that environmental variables such as topography, climate, geology, soils, and landform all interact in many different ways to produce the many different site qualities we find in this region. However, when one factors in the level of human disturbance these systems have incurred, the solution is not quite so apparent. Site index has been the standard by which we have measured site quality in the past. However, this model is not now quite as accurate, largely due to the fact that the standing vegetation may or may not be representative of what the true capacity of the site can produce as far as standing vegetation. By increasing the accuracy of our site quality predictions, we may identify sites with the highest potential productivity, focus our management efforts onto those sites, and effectively reduce the land base used for commercial wood production. It would increase the efficiency with which we utilize our woodlands. So the three questions that I seek to answer through this investigation, first and foremost, is there a more accurate way to capture site quality quantitatively throughout the Southern Appalachians based on environmental variables? Secondly, may I look at small areas and derive conclusions as far as relationships between standing vegetation and environmental variables and be able to extrapolate that out onto the landscape with confidence? And finally, most specific to this presentation, is basal area increment a factor of environmental variables at Walker Branch Watershed in eastern Tennessee? Moving into my methods, this land cover map depicts the areas that I've obtained data to conduct this study. As you see up here, the Ferno is on the Allegheny Plateau, Robinson Forest lies on the Cumberland Plateau, the George Washington Jefferson National Forest and Walker Branch Watershed both lie within the Ridge and Valley Physiographic Province, and then finally down here we have Coweta on the Blue Ridge. Now, if you will, please focus in on the Walker Branch Watershed area, as that is the area that I chose to model for my initial investigation. Walker Branch Watershed is a 98-hectare research forest that was set aside by the Department of Energy in 1968 for ecological research. As you see here, it's composed of two subcatchments, one that flows south and one that flows east. The watershed has a humid, typical southern Appalachian climate. It receives about 140 centimeters of annual precipitation, and the annual average temperature is 14.5 degrees Celsius. Elevation ranges from 242 to 387 meters, and 90% of this is covered by typic paleoudults. As shown here, the forested communities are primarily oak hickory, but pine communities do occur on the ridgetops, and mixed mesophytic communities occur in the areas of more protection in the cove areas. Walker Branch has not been disturbed except by fire and pine beetles since 1942 when the government initially acquired it. For my first cut at the model of site quality and productivity, I decided to focus my efforts on topography and landform as they affect water availability. So for this pilot study, I first evaluated site quality by site index at Walker Branch by using a 10-meter DEM, or digital elevation model. Secondly, I used the same DEM to derive several environmental variables for specific plot locations I had obtained from Walker Branch. And then finally, I used the Walker Branch dataset to validate my predictions. The dataset had 5,772 individual observations over 280 plots, and 9 years was the growth increment that I analyzed. I chose basal area as my productivity proxy simply because it was what I had to work with given the initial data that they provided to me. Plot locations for each plot and all of the derived environmental data were merged with the initial data set to be used as the validation. So listed here and illustrated here is the 10-meter digital elevation model I worked with. These are the environmental variables I derived, which are very common to almost everyone in here. The Forest Site Quality Index is a way to measure site quality that was developed in the Ridge and Valley Physiographic Province in the early 80s, and it's four upland hardwood forested stands based on slope, percent, slope position, and aspect. The Topographic Shape Index is a measure of the convexity or concavity of a landform. And finally, the Topographic Convergence Index is a representation of how much water flows into a specific area based on upland, upslope catchment area and slope. This is a map of the four classes of slope on Walker Branch Watershed, and this is one of the more simple operations that you can perform with ArcMap. As you see here, there are some areas of pretty steep slopes down here where the two subcatchments merge. However, as is typical of this area, most of the slopes range from 6 to 24 degrees, and they're moderate to steep. And this is a nice depiction of how the landforms run in the Ridge and Valley Physiographic Province, as we've got this nice long linear ridge that runs in a northeast-southwesterly direction, but bordered between two limestone valleys that probably have been converted into agriculture. More complex algorithms may be applied to the DEM as well, such as the Topographic Shape Index, which I mentioned earlier was a measure of the convexity or concavity of a landform. The lighter areas indicate the highest values and depict maximum convexity of a landform. So as you see up here in the top, it captures these ridge lines pretty well. And vice versa, the darker areas are those that have the maximum concavity. So when I multiplied the three classes of topographic shape index, which was planar, convex, and concave, with four classes of slope and two classes of Beer's transform aspect, I was able to derive 18 distinct landform classes with different potential productivities for Walker Branch. Underlying this scheme is the topographic paradigm, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with the difference there being a difference in community composition, site quality, and one would expect productivity between northeast and southwest facing aspects. So now I'll move into how I generated my predictions of site quality at Walker Branch. So as I mentioned earlier, the Forest Site Quality Index is a very easy to use field method to derive site quality based on environmental variables that can be measured right then and there. So basically, when you're out in the field, you take an azimuth, you take a percent slope, and you also figure out where you are on the slope position, which is illustrated down here at the bottom. And for each of those measurements, there is a corresponding FSQI value. Once you've obtained those values, you simply sum them up, you reference it in one of the five FSQI ranges down here, and then that is highly correlated to an upland oak site index, which is in this column here. FSQI was calculated for each 10-meter pixel in the area that contains Walker Branch. So when I applied this to my 10-meter DEM, there were 10 possible scores that came out with the Forest Site Quality Index. And I really like the way this came out because the hotter colors, the warmer colors, indicate the lower site qualities. Because the evapotranspiration would be higher. We're on more concave landforms. We're up a bit higher, there's going to be less water. And the cooler colors, green and the blues, indicate higher site quality simply because it's got more available moisture down in those protected landforms. So once I collapsed the individual scores down into their respective site index classes, I was able to derive four individual site index classes at Walker Branch. And if you will note, the yellow areas represent the areas of lowest site quality, and the violet areas represent the areas of highest site quality. Again, those high quality areas would be well protected, they're on low slope positions, and they retain moisture much better due to their concave shape. And also on top of this are the points that were included in the data set from Walker Branch. So analysis of the preliminary data indicated that there was no significant relationship between the chosen environmental variables and percent basal area increment at Walker Branch. They also reflected a lack of relationship between FSQI and percent basal area, despite the fact that FSQI predicted four different site quality classes. So these two graphs illustrate why I think I got what I got. The top graph shows that the relationship between percent basal area increment at Walker Branch and FSQI were very weakly correlated. So although we got a nice spread of scores on the four site quality index, the basal area increment simply wasn't wide enough to capture the variability to be used as a validation data set. This was expected further in that basal area increment has several problems with being a true estimate of productivity due to stand density and the fact that it's a radial growth pattern. And it may also, the vegetation may be unrepresentative of what could be what the site could produce. Further, the variables that were chosen may not be sensitive to what we're trying to capture at Walker Branch. The oldest cohort of trees at Walker Branch is 65 years of age, which I've marked with the dashed line on the bottom. And this basically shows as an unmanaged hardwood, upland hardwood stand ages, basal area begins to taper off largely after 50 years. And like I said, in a nutshell, I don't think there was enough variation in my validation data set to serve as a data set to test my predictions. So in conclusion, this pilot study indicated that our prediction of productivity did not correlate with estimates of productivity from Walker Branch. Further, standing basal area was only weakly related to environmental variables. These results reveal that the vegetation at Walker Branch does not have adequate power in revealing the tree site quality. So how do we pick where to manage? At this point, there's no good validation data set by which to solidify our predictions. So what do? Well, we go forward based on our fundamental understanding of ecosystem dynamics. We have been doing soil site studies for years now, and now that we have the tool of GIS, I feel that we're getting closer to being able to generate a management-driven model that accurately captures site quality in highly diverse areas. Going forward, I plan to choose another dependent variable, likely site index, something that is height-driven, in several areas of different site quality where site index measurements would be valid. FIA data and plot locations have been released to my department for use in this study, and I intend to identify a region that exhibits low, medium, and high site qualities to increase the variation within this data. If the FIA data acts as if I've heard it acts, I intend to create my own data set for validation through fieldwork. And finally, I would like to add more data layers such as geology, soils, and climate to refine this model as much as possible and to incorporate as many environmental variables that we know have proven to affect site quality. So with that, I'll conclude, and I would like to thank my two co-chairs, my committee first off, but in particular my two co-chairs, Tom Fox and Steve Priestley, who have reassured me that getting no results isn't necessarily a bad thing, it just refines your direction as far as where you need to go. Further, I'd like to thank the Graduate School of Virginia Tech and the Forest Nutrition Co-op for funding this research, and finally, all the research foresters and scientists who have graciously allowed me to work with their data for this project. Thank you.